Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless now our time together? Thank you for the opportunity we have to look into your word and look at these Bible characters here in these weeks that exemplify virtues that you would have us emulate by your power. So Lord, would you bless now in this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, today we are looking at a woman that you would never have thought would be in this line of ladies if you had known her before she was saved. She is definitely not exemplifying in her early life. She was pagan, and she was just living a life of disrepute, and very much not what you would consider a woman of faith. We have her, believe it or not. I want you to look at it. Hebrews chapter 11, before we get to our text, the great passage that gives us the examples of faith that really are an encouragement to us. And there's a lot of different people that aren't mentioned that are a great blessing in the Old Testament, but this lady is mentioned. And so that's verse 31 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. How would you like every time your name is mentioned in the scripture to be called Rahab the harlot? You know, I mean, it's always tacked on because of the nature of her testimony. But the reason I started with Hebrews chapter 11 is that it says by faith. So this woman actually exercised very genuine faith in Jehovah God, and God honored her. And if you'll turn with me now to Joshua chapter 2, we'll actually look at the story. The writer here uses the illustration of a cameo. And if you know anything about a cameo, they normally, almost always, are on a dark background. You have a dark background, and then you have the beautiful little carving, white carving on the top, and those are always very pretty, but you wouldn't even hardly notice it if it wasn't on a dark background. And because of the dark background of her past, her testimony can even be more beautiful. And that's an encouragement. You know, one of the things that happens sometimes is when you are in a church that is endeavoring to bring up children to serve the Lord, and we endeavor to give strong leadership in regard to how to live, how families should be, how marriages should be, and all of that, it can sometimes be a little intimidating when you are in that situation and your past was anything but what is occurring with a lot of the young people. Now, women that are at peace with the Lord and are very much excited about their salvation revel in young people being rescued from a life that they were in. But sometimes there can be an insecurity. And I just want you to see the attitude of the Lord toward Rahab. Does he ever let her forget her past? Well, no, she's called Rahab the harlot. But that's the dark background to a beautiful cameo of her life, her faith, her courage. And what you need to realize is that, in fact, I think I'm having you turn more than I normally do, but go to Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 1. And here we are in the line of the Lord Jesus and his genealogy, and the fact that the Lord Jesus was of the line of David, and so therefore, and of Solomon, so therefore he had the right to the throne through Joseph, his adopted father. And so we're looking at the generation of Jesus Christ, but look with me at verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. her name is in the genealogy of David, and therefore in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several Gentile women are in that genealogy. Can you? Anybody else tell me someone who is? Ruth, yeah. There's another one. Did somebody say it? Tamar, Judah, remember? And the Lord allowed, through each of these unique situations, for us as Gentiles to realize that the line of the Lord Jesus was filled with Gentiles, and he is the Savior of all mankind. Very interesting when you look at that. But there it is. She's in the line of David. And you know, it's very interesting. It's not very far from David. If you look at verse 5 again, you have Boaz and Ruth begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So you're only several generations away from David himself. And so the faith of Rahab definitely marked a man named Boaz. Don't you like to read the book of Ruth? You know, and you just sense the graciousness, the depth, the maturity, the faith of Boaz. Who was his mama? Think about it. So I'm just trying to give you the picture here that we're not just picking a lady out of nowhere. This is significant in Scripture. And so let's go now to the story in Joshua chapter 2. And we're looking at the faith of a woman and the courage of a woman and just the glory of what can occur if we will walk by faith. Let's look at the story, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told of the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither to tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." All right, Rahab, I'm sure, knew that it was known that these spies had come in, these Hebrews had come in. And so to be treasonous to a pagan king, I mean, Jericho was so wicked that God in his justice could destroy it. Remember, the Lord waited 430 years before he destroyed and sent out the people of Israel until they got into the land, because as wicked as the Canaanites were, the iniquity wasn't full. So I can only imagine how bad it was in Jericho. It could well be that Rahab's condition was pretty common, you know, throughout that city, just the way it was. And so she was very much in a place of great danger for her to do this, because there was enormous fear of Israel by the Canaanites. They knew what happened in Egypt, and even though it was 40 years before she'll talk about it, they all knew about it. They knew that God had protected them in the wilderness. By the way, no group of 2 to 3 million could survive in the wilderness without God. Even that was a miracle. No way. No way you could have enough provision. No way a people group. You'd have smaller tribes that might move around, but not a group like that. So that was a miracle. And then when they started coming up the east side of the Jordan Valley, each kingdom fell. Every one of them fell as Israel marched forward and they took the land. And so when they came across the Jordan, that really did it, because the Jordan was at the flood stage. Today, when you see the Jordan, it's a small river. But back then, it was a big rushing river coming down from Mount Hermon and all the headwaters up in the north part of Israel. And during that time of year, it was in flood stage. my one time out of 19 times in Israel that I've been there, I actually got to see that. When we were you drive up the road on the west side of the Jordan, there's Jericho off right off to your left. You can't even see the Jordan River. It's way down. It goes down in the there. And but that year, it was like a big lake, this big moving set of water. It was just amazing. You could see, and I thought, yeah, that's what they crossed. And it was moving. I mean, that's a very major drop, hundreds of feet from above Galilee and then after Galilee to the Dead Sea. I mean, nobody would ford that. That would be totally impassable at that time. So they're up there on Jericho looking down, and all of a sudden the water gets stopped. I always tell the folks that are with me, we're on the road after are at the place where they probably crossed, and we're on the road, and it's a number of minutes later, and then we come to Adam, and this is where the water went. It went up this far, filling up the valley. And that was how major a miracle that was. So Rahab, housing the spies of this group, would have been immediate capital punishment. I mean, no way around it. She, her family, anybody she knew, that would have been the end of her existence. So I just wanted to put this into context for you. And the fact is that the king knew, and I'm sure she knew the king knew. And in fact, the whole context tells you that. And so let's go on here. And they actually, somehow they knew where they were in verse 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There come men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And so she redirects the men. Now let's don't get into a discussion about her lying. Okay, that's one of the famous theological times in Bible classes. Well, was that right or not? You know, is that ethical to do that? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 11, and God says what? By faith, she had the courage, okay? Remember, she's a pagan woman.
It's wartime lying.
What's that?
It's wartime lying.
It's war, yeah, that's right. And I'm not going to get into the ethics of all that, but anyway. Okay. But anyway, let's... let's go on. But so she brings them to the roof of her house in verse 6 and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men, that's from Jericho, pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And now here's where we see the heart of Rahab. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Now, what she's saying there is what everybody felt, okay? Very clearly, the terror had fallen upon everybody. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, but... first phrase is the key. "I know that," and she uses the word Yahweh, Jehovah. "I know that the Lord hath given you this land." She had made the decision based upon the fact she knew, the revelation of God's power. She had made the decision to believe that Jehovah God was behind all of this, and that he was the true God. Then you go on, and we read in verse 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now you've got to understand the pagan mentality. They were not monotheist. What I mean by monotheist is they did not believe in one creator God. They had gods for this and gods for that. In fact, in her name is the one of the key gods of the pagans, and that was Ra. And so, she was clearly of the whole pagan background. And so when she makes this statement, now, a number of the people in Jericho could have said, our hearts faint because of what we've seen. That was everybody. But she makes the statement that the Lord, He is the one in heaven above and in the earth beneath. In other words, He's the God, He's the only God is basically what she is saying. God has done this, and by stating this, she is clearly showing, we know for sure from Hebrews 11, she is showing her faith in the Lord. How did she exhibit her faith according to James chapter 2? By her works. Okay, remember Dr. Jim preached on that 2 days ago. He didn't use the example of Rahab or Abraham, but you have that there again as an example. So her courage to do what she did, put her life on the line at that moment, to hide those spies and then help them escape, came not first and foremost, so you might get that from this passage, on trying to protect her family and herself, which is understandable, but it was a direct faith in God that God was inevitably going to destroy Jericho, and she knew it, and therefore she was going to place herself in the hand of God and these spies because she knew her only hope was Jehovah God. And let me just say this. This was not just an intellectual faith. It had to be definitely an interaction between her and the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, God also convicted. We're in the New Testament age, and obviously God works in our hearts. But remember, before you're saved, do you have the indwelling spirit? No. Now, even in the Old Testament, you didn't have the same kind of indwelling, but all people unsaved do not have the indwelling of the Spirit. But you have the promise of the conviction of the Spirit. And in the Old Testament, the whole reason that Israel was in a nation was to be a witness of what salvation was and that God would provide salvation. That was the whole system of sacrifice. That was what the temple and the tabernacle earlier were supposed to show. And so what happened to Rahab was an example of what Israel was supposed to do. Point people through the power of God to the fact there's only one true God. Salvation is alone in Him, and to place your faith in Him. Come under the wings of Jehovah God. You know, place your faith in Him. Isn't that what Ruth did? She chose to reject the gods of Moab, and she put her faith under the care of Jehovah God. That's what happened here to Rahab. And of course, both of these ladies are in the line of the Messiah. And she very clearly here shows her faith. And then she asks for protection, verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed your kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Let me make a simple application here. If you've had a tough background in which maybe your family isn't where it ought to be, or there's some things like that that you're burdened about, if you continue to look to God and God alone to meet and work in your family's life, I believe just like Jacob with all of his sons, you can see God do miraculous things. And she believed that God would, with Jericho being destroyed, God would and could protect her family. So she wasn't just selfish about herself. She wanted her family, those closest to her, also to be protected. And I think sometimes men and women who have not been brought up as Christians or maybe had a tough time early years and then didn't come to the Lord till later or surrendered to the Lord, and then there's casualties because of all of that, there are consequences. They can just begin to feel like, I'm hopeless, what's the use? I'm not going to be able to see anything happen. Don't do that. You are the one to intercede with power for those that are especially of your family. And I think, I remember, I think I even mentioned this several weeks ago in the service. One of the dear men in our church, he was in his mid-80s. I was preaching on child rearing, and he had lost his, seemingly lost his family. He was a very top businessman, and he was an upstanding man of our church. But, you know, here I am, a kid preacher, preaching on the family. I may have had one child at the time, you know, and I was an expert until I had my first child. But, you know, the Bible is the Bible, so you keep preaching it. But preached on that, and here this man comes forward weeping in his 80s, and he determined to reach his family, and he did before God took him home. So believe the God of heaven that saved you. The God of heaven that has met your needs, can he not work miraculously in people's lives and in your children's lives or your spouse's life or whatever your situation is? Unbelief has got to be destroyed when it comes to those closest to you, because you are the channel of rescue for those family members. And so her faith did what? Her faith saved her family. And I would not doubt that her family got integrated right into, just like she did, into the nation of Israel and became followers of Jehovah God. So she not only saw them saved physically, by the way, if they had died, where would they have gone? To hell. So she was the means by which, through her actions and her faith, that she saved them physically and eternally. Verse 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Now, that took faith on the part of those men. How could God do that? You know, when the Lord had said they were going to totally destroy Jericho. But they knew that God was in it. And I just want to say this. They detected the faith of Rahab. Okay. It was more than just her doing kindness. I'm sure they themselves, having seen all that God had done, were exercising faith themselves that God would deliver. And by the way, when we're encouraging someone else, sort of like I'm doing right now, we need to have faith that what we say to somebody else, that they will be delivered, they will be delivered. And that by trusting the Lord and knowing the Lord and looking to the God of heaven, if they will do that, not only will they be saved, but they can reach their children and you can encourage them that God will work. And so these men did the right thing here, just trusting that the Lord would do it. I don't think they had God speak to them about it at that moment. And so she let them down by a cord through the window, verse 15, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house, notice their faith here, and unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. Look at that. Now they've gone a step further and said, we're going to be culpable. And if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And again, she's putting her life on the line for them. Now, it's pretty amazing when you think about what happened. Be one thing if it was a typical battle. Israel had come. They were able to scale the walls because this was a mighty city. This was one of the five royal cities of the Egyptians. And it was impossible. I mean, it was an impossibility. This is where you had to lay siege like Nebuchadnezzar did about around Jerusalem and Sennacherib and all. And there should have been a long, long siege. And then finally they'd come in and, well, you could see rescuing the family because the spies could tell them where they were. But that wasn't how God planned it. How did God plan it? That the walls would come down. Where did they live? On the wall. Okay. No problem for God. But I mean, this was just not a typical battle. Okay. And of course, you know the story of Jericho. And the way it reads, and I really believe it, and as I've studied it, the walls didn't fall down outward or inward. They went down. I mean, they just went right into the ground, except there was one section of the wall that stood, and that was Rahab's house. And I have heard Ramsey and some of them have said that, the archaeologist, well, anyway, years ago, and I don't know how valid it is, but that for a while, some of that level of archaeology from that period, there was an area that seemed to have more substance to it. Yes? Right.
Years ago, and the guy said, this section is here. We don't understand why. And your dad said, well,
yeah, and so that's there's some arguments on it, but it is a unique thing. And the guy did not understand why that part of that wall of that era was still there. But regardless, was saving Rahab even impossible just from a human standpoint when it would come to a real battle? And the way God was going to do it, yeah. But God will do it if you believe in God. Listen, ladies, when it comes to people you love, when it comes to your own life, you've got to understand God will do what needs to be done to answer your prayer and change your life. Now, let me just quickly make some applications. The main application here is do not let Satan cause you to get discouraged about your past. This is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that I see with good people. You hear preaching about how you should live, what you should do. All of these things are biblical, but there's oftentimes an ache in the heart because of things that occurred before you were saved or maybe after you were saved, before you really gave your life fully to the Lord. And there can be just an unbelief that comes in when it comes in regard to what your life can be. And the Lord goes out of his way in the Word of God to give us these examples to teach us what? I can make a trophy of grace out of anyone who will trust me. I can, and again, I love the cameo illustration. Against the dark background, the beautiful cameo is seen. And though we don't want to have a dark background, when it is there, what God does in transforming a life is a beautiful tribute to his glory. And so your life can be a very special part of the Word of God going forward and having a long-term generational impact. We are here today because of a woman named Rahab the harlot. And through her came Jesus. And he will reign. And that's really, it's an exciting thing. And you have no idea. generationally what your life can be if you'll walk by faith.